Hello, and welcome to Creation Matters with your host, Mike Riddle, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live. Mike is an author, teacher, and conference speaker, and is president of Christian Training and Development Services. Creation Matters is dedicated to the teaching of the biblical and scientific truths about God's creation. In the beginning, God created, and for by Him were all things created. And now here's your host of Creation Matters, Mike Riddle.
Welcome again to Creation Matters. I'm your host, Mike Riddle, and welcome to another day that the Lord has made. Isn't that a great statement? You know, only He could have made this day, because nobody else can make a day. Only God could create the sun, moon, and stars. Folks, that just can't happen by evolution. That's just one of those great fairy tales that we keep reading in our textbooks. But that's not what we're going to be talking about today. Today we've got another subject that I'd like to start off with. If stem cells have so much medical potential, why is there so much fuss about using them? And how about this one? How would you like to clone yourself? Wow, just imagine cloning yourself. You could send yourself out to do tours, and you could stay at home and watch television all day or play computer games. Now, how about this next hour? What we want to do during this next hour is not just have a lot of controversy, but what we want to do is teach you the truth about cloning in stem cells. What is a stem cell? Where do we get them? Did President Bush, our current president, make the right decision about not funding stem cell research? How does stem cells really work? What does it really take to make a clone of an animal? And are they trying to clone human beings? That's what we're going to be covering this next hour. If you have any issues about cloning or stem cells, give us a call at 800-955-8200. That's 800-955-8200. Because we're going to do some real teaching about stem cells and cloning. We're going to give what you're not getting by the media, or when you say not by the media, that's also not what Hollywood is talking about either. So we're going to do some real teaching. Now, before we get into the teaching, I want to give you an update on some events that are happening here. In case most of you haven't seen it, KGNW happens to be on the ball, and here we're talking about Mount St. Helens a little bit. Did you notice we just had a rather large steam eruption? Just happening at 5:28, they've just announced. 5:28, a rather large steam eruption. But let me give you some other events that are going to be taking place this month or next month. March the 20th, I will be at Crossroads Bible Church in Bellevue. I'll be teaching the teens, and the topic is going to be creation, cloning, and life. We'll be teaching all about cloning, all about stem cells, probably a whole lot more we can get in this hour on the radio. And then we're going to talk about when does life begin. We'll show some incredible pictures there. So if you have an inkling to learn more about cloning, stem cells, and when does life begin, Crossroads Bible Church. If you want to know how to get there, go to the website or give them a call. Crossroads Bible Church, March 20th. Then on April 8th and 9th, that's a Friday and Saturday, the Seattle Worldview Apologetics Conference will be held at Crossroads Bible Church, also in Bellevue. If you have any questions, give them a call at 425-747 or 6750. That's 425-747-6750. Or if you want to call the person who's in charge of all of this, Carl Payne, give him a call at 425-556-5905. That's 556-5905. You don't want to miss that Worldview Apologetics Conference, folks. There are going to be some tremendous speakers there. Dr. Ergun Kantor, one of the leading authorities on Islam, will be there. He was there last year, and he was fantastic, folks. If you want to understand Islam, you need to be at the Worldview Conference. There will also be people talking about the historicity of the Bible, examining the resurrection of Jesus Christ, current issues confronting the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I will be there talking about how to respond to common questions, preparing your children for tough questions. So Creation Evolution, I'll be there April 8th and 9th, Seattle Worldview Conference. Then on May 12th through the 14th, we talked about this last week, May 12th through the 14th, the WATCH Conference, the Washington Association of Teaching Christian Homes. for all you homeschoolers and all you people who would like to find out something about homeschooling, make sure you're there at the Watch Conference, May 12th through 14th. That will be held at Overlake Christian Church. And if you want to find out more about that, go to the Watch website. That's watchhome.org, watchhome.org. Then on May 21st, we just talked about Mount St. Helens, and some of you may be seeing that. On May 20th and 21st, the Institute for Creation Research will be holding a Mount St. Helens Anniversary Conference in Longview, Washington. That's May 20th and 21st, a Mount St. Helens Conference, Anniversary Conference, 25 years. If you want information about that, contact Connie Perna. And here's her number, Connie Perna. She's in charge of registration. Her number is 619, that's a San Diego number, 619-448-0900, and extension 6042. That's 619-448-0900, extension 6042. And then finally, well, I guess that's about the number of conferences we have coming up. So, a lot of happenings on creation evolution and worldview apologetics coming up. So again, the first one, March 20th, Crossroads Bible Church, I'll be talking about creation, cloning, stem cells, and when does life begin? So did the president make the right decision about stem cells? Did he make the right decision about not to have cloning of humans? If you have any opinions on that, give us a call at 800-955-8200. Well, I mentioned we're going to do some real teaching this hour because I like to teach. Let's start off with stem cells. What are stem cells? You know, we read a lot, we hear a lot about stem cells, we hear a lot of controversy, but folks, what are they? Well, here, let's do the teaching on it. You know, each individual begins as a single cell, a zygote. That's a great Scrabble word in case you're interested. Z-Y-G-O-T-E. If you got that Z or you got a Y, there you go. Zygote, that is a legal word. That is a word. So you Scrabble players out there, remember that one. So again, each individual begins as a single cell. Now this fertilized egg has all the instructions coded in the DNA to make us what we are. So all the information is in that DNA from the very beginning, and it says we're a human being. Now, as that embryo grows, different cells in different places begin to, what we call, specialize. So only certain instructions get executed out of the DNA. In other words, what we say is the cells become differentiated. In other words, instructions in our DNA as that fertilized egg grows are turned off. They're turned off. They're still there. They're just turned off. Tremendously complex organization in there. Now, the result of these switches is that bone cells, these switches being turned off and some being turned on, is that bone cells only execute instructions pertaining to bone. Now, there's the instructions for making blood, skin, nerve cells, etc., are still there, but they've been turned off. Now, literally, many cells in your body stem from what we call stem cells. That helps explain it. So our stem cells are what give us all the other cells in our body. They serve as sort of a repair system for the body. That's why they're so important. Now, stem cells have two characteristics that separate them from other cells in your body. Number one, they can theoretically divide forever. They can theoretically continue to replicate themselves indefinitely. Number two, they can divide and develop into other kinds of cells or tissues, such as blood, nerves, bones, and skin. So there's your basics of stem cells. Everybody starts off as a single cell, a zygote. As the egg, after the egg is fertilized, instructions, all the instructions are in there, but as it begins to grow, some of those instructions get turned off. Now, two kinds of stem cells. This is important. This is what you normally don't get taught. All we hear is stem cell research. We need to fund stem cell research. But here's what they're not telling you. You see, there are two types of stem cells. They're what we call the embryonic stem cell. These cells are derived from fertilized embryos. Those are embryonic stem cells. Then there are adult stem cells. Adult stem cells come from any non-embryonic cell, such as bone marrow, umbilical cord blood. In other words, they are plentiful throughout the body. In other words, you don't have to be an adult to have adult stem cells. They just come from a non-embryo source. So we have embryonic stem cells, which are derived from fertilized embryos, and adult stem cells, which come from many other tissues in our body, such as, again, bone marrow and umbilical cord blood. So what's the difference? What are other differences? Well, adult stem cells are what we call differentiated, meaning they are locked into only one type of cell or tissue. In other words, some of the code in the DNA has been turned off, and they can only code for certain types of tissue, such as bone marrow or skin. So adult stem cells seem to be limited. Let me make this word clear. They appear to be limited in scope. Now, embryonic stem cells, again, which come from human embryos, their instructions have not been turned off, so they have the potential to grow into many types of tissues. Therefore, many researchers have high hopes that they could be used to grow or regrow damaged tissue anywhere in the body. So there's your basics of what stem cells are, what types of stem cells there are, and the difference between the two. Now the question. Since stem cells have the potential to cure many diseases and heal many injuries, should we allow for stem cell research? Well, right here in the state of Washington right now, there's a bill endorsing stem cell research. And here's what the person says, the Senate committee says, I certainly know people who would engage in the research if there was more funding and there weren't quite the political uproar, said Randall Moon, a member of the federally funded Exploratory Center for Human Embryonic Cell Research. So what they're trying to do in this state is set a bill so that we can grow human embryos for research. Does that bother anybody out there? Well, wait a minute now. We're growing embryos, but we're going to be able to cure a lot of diseases, we say. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Should we pour more monies into embryonic stem cells when it appears to have so much potential? Well, if you have any questions, if you feel that's a good thing, give us a call at 800-955-8200. If you don't like that, if you are against growing human embryos to cure other people, give us a call at 800-955-8200. And we're going to go to a break here in just a moment, but I saw an article in the newspaper here just recently by a person by the name of Marianne, and I'll spell the last name, B-U-E-C-H-L-E-R, and I want to commend this person for writing a great article about cloning and stem cells. We'll talk more about that when we come back from the break. When we come back from the break, I want to talk some more about this radio show, some of the things we have planned in the future for you. And again, give us a call, 800-955-8200. Welcome back to Creation Matters, and our topic today is stem cells and cloning. We're doing some real teaching on this, the kind of teaching you don't normally get in the press. Well, folks, if you feel you've benefited from this radio show, Creation Matters, you know it's what we believe is the only one-hour radio show in the country dedicated to teaching the truth about God's creation. You know, we have a lot of good news on this. We have a lot of shows still to come. Next week, we've got one big topic. Can you believe in evolution and still be a Christian? We're going to answer that question. We're going to truthfully answer that question from a biblical standpoint. Can you believe in evolution and still be a Christian? March 22, we're off. March 29th, we have Is the Big Bang Biblical? We're going to talk all about the Big Bang, the biblical side of it, and the science. Was there ever even a Big Bang? We know there's going to be a big crunch in the end, but was there ever a Big Bang? April 5th, does it really matter what we believe? Because a lot of churches don't seem to know what they believe on this issue. And we're going to settle that question. Because we're going to tell you it does matter, folks, what we believe about God's Word. April 12th, here's all you. We're going to go right to the core of evolution. Right to the holy grail of evolution. April 12th, the age of the earth. We're going to talk about the biblical side of the age and the science. Did you know today there are many PhD scientists that have evidence, solid evidence, of a young Earth? Wow, we're going to talk about some of that. Now, the bad news is this show ends in May 2005. Our last show will be sometime in May 2005. But the good news is we can stay on the air, but we need to have the entire next year funded, financed, folks. We need the entire year financed. And Answers in Genesis will take over the show with us, and we'll co-do that show with Answers in Genesis, but we need funding for an entire year. You know, the good news is there's somebody out there that has that money. The bad news is they just don't know it yet. So please consider the importance of getting the truth out to the public by supporting this ministry. And if you'd like to know more about our ministry, go to our website, creationmatters.org. Creationmatters.org. You know, we have a lot of free things on our website. A lot of free things. You know, I do a lot of PowerPoint slides, and I talk all over the country. I just got back from Kentucky. I got back from Kentucky, did a presentation there for Answers in Genesis people. You know, a lot of my PowerPoint slides are on our website. You can download for free. I have about 8 or 9 of my talks. You can download all the PowerPoint slides for free. We also have many resources there that you can purchase. We have 6 DVDs out there that you can purchase. And also, along with the DVDs, you not only get an hour teaching on there, you get another special hour of interviews from scientists from all over the country and world. You can also get complete lesson plans. We have special bargains on there, such as our Origin of Life Equipping course. You know that course has 3 hours of video teaching, a student manual, teacher manual, and it's all for $15. You can get all that off our website. So many, many things on our website. Well, let's get back to the topic today. And if you have any questions on stem cells or cologne, give us a call, 800-955-8200. And I've mentioned a article I read in the newspaper just yesterday or today. And this person made this statement: it is unacceptable to create life only to destroy it, even if it's touted as a means of helping other living humans. Adult stem cell research, along with bone marrow and umbilical cord stem cell research, are promising and proving methods to help cure diseases, along with being ethical. Thank you very much for writing an article like that. That person is right on the money, folks. They have not been indoctrinated by all the propaganda of the media and Hollywood. I do like to pick on Hollywood. But you know, I have met some Christians, good Christians from Hollywood. Good Christians there, but far and few in between. Well, let's get back to stem cells. Most of the media, and I'll say this again, most of Hollywood too, and one of the previous presidential candidates, I won't mention his initials, but his name is John Kerry, are dead wrong when they talk about stem cells. Do you hear what I just said? Most of Hollywood, most of the media, and one of our presidential candidates were dead wrong when they talk about stem cells. Folks, they are not informed about science or don't care about human life. See, they've been promoting embryonic stem cell research because of its potential. You got that word now? When you hear embryonic stem cells, look for what I call these fuzzy words. They always talk about potential. Why potential? Because, folks, embryonic stem cells have never cured anything. Never cured anything. Activists such as the late actor Christopher Reeve was upset at President Bush because of his restrictions on embryonic stem cell funding. Some claim that Mr. Reeve would have been walking in a few years if Bush would have allowed funding. Folks, he had it all backwards, as is most of Hollywood. You see, adult stem cells have already enabled quadriplegic animals to walk again. But the chance of embryonic stem cells helping people such as Mr. Reeve in the next 10 years even is practically zero. Reeve should have known this. Kerry should have known this. Hollywood should know this. But because of their agenda to want to destroy or cheapen human life, they deny medical science and possible cures by trying to take the funding away from adult stem cells and pour it into embryonic stem cells, the production of human embryos, and then destroying them. Let me give you some information about embryonic stem cells. Let me tell you the problems that they're not telling you. And if you have any questions on this, give us a call at 800-955-8200. Because I know this is a very hot and emotional topic, but folks, we're not talking about emotions here. We're talking about good science and medical research. What do we actually know, and what has actually been performed? Let me give you the lowdown on embryonic stem cells. No cures have been done using embryonic stem cells, but yet the media touts these as the, get the word again, great potential. What we don't hear about embryonic stem cells is this. Embryonic stem cells implanted into animals have a nasty tendency to cause malignant tumors. That's a major hurdle they have not been able to overcome. We haven't heard that on the news yet, have we? You know, the body rejects embryonic stem cells as they would any donated organ, so it gets rejected most of the time. You know, the Whitehead Institute for Biomedical Research in Cambridge, Massachusetts, published in the journal Science that embryonic stem cells used in cloning mice often result in severe abnormalities. Wow! Would you want to clone a human being if that's what's going to happen? You know, embryonic stem cells, when they try to use them, would require lifelong use of drugs to prevent rejection of the tissue. The New England Journal of Medicine said they can produce tragic side effects. Mice clones using embryonic stem cells were genetically defective. When did we ever hear that from the news media? Folks, we're not being told all the information. Embryonic stem cells do not work yet. Will they ever work? Well, we don't know. There's tremendous hurdles to overcome. But now, let me give you the bright side. That was the downside. Let's go to the bright side. How about adult stem cells? Let me give you some background on adult stem cells. Now, the reason Hollywood doesn't want to use adult stem cells, and a lot of researchers don't want to use adult stem cells, and I'm going to get down to the bottom issue here, folks. It's called money. There's a lot of money to be made here. There's a lot of companies pouring a lot of money into embryonic stem cell research. And if that gets cut off, folks, they lose their paycheck. So it's not about human life. It's not about helping people, ultimately. It's about money. So let me talk about adult stem cells. You know, muscle stem cells, we're talking about adult stem cells from muscle, have been grown into muscles themselves, as well as components such as connective tissue, blood vessels, and nerves. Adult liver cells have been transformed into insulin-producing cells. Embryonic stem cells can't do that, folks. That only has come from adult stem cells. In other words, they have been proven to work. At Harvard Medical School, they have partially restored sight in animals with retinal damage. You don't hear that on the news. Bone marrow stem cells help to restore damage to hearts after a heart attack. You know, adult stem cells are currently used to treat over 70 diseases, including leukemia, breast cancer, liver disease, cornea restoration, brain tumors, arthritis, and heart disease. Wow! When did we ever hear that in the news? That has been suppressed by our media and Hollywood, folks. You know, a professor of cardiothoracic surgery injected adult stem cells from bone marrow into the hearts of rats. These cells differentiated into new heart muscle that made the right connections to nearby cells so they could all beat together. Adult stem cells seem to be the way to go. Adult stem cells can be transformed into skin cells, which can be used for skin grafts. A team led by the University of Florida permanently cured insulin-dependent diabetes in mice. All that using adult stem cells. You know, adult stem cells have been used for many, many years, and they've been used successfully to cure diseases. But embryonic stem cells have not cured anything yet. Celebrity Parkinson's disease victims such as Michael J. Fox and Michael Kinsley regularly tout embryonic stem cell research as the best hope for a cure of their disease. But both have remained strangely silent about the fact that researchers treated Parkinson's diseases with the patient's own adult stem cells. Folks, these people are being misled. They're absolutely being misled. We need to get the truth. We need to get to good medical research. We need to put the money into adult stem cell research, not embryonic stem cells, folks. That is a destruction of human life. That's the bottom line right there. God did not create human life so we could destroy innocent human life, folks. That's the difference. Embryonic stem cells, when we destroy them, is cheapening human life. It's like an abortion, folks. It's like an abortion. So we're going to go to a break here in just a moment. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about stem cells, and then finally we're going to get into cloning. Would you like to clone yourself? Wouldn't that be a neat thing? When we get back, I want to talk about what a geneticist had to say from one of our state universities, a geneticist about adult stem research. And folks, if you have any questions, give us a call, 800-955-8200. And if you want more information, go to our website, creationmatters.org, and get some of those free materials out there. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Creation Matters, and I'm your host, Mike Riddle. We're just having a great teaching session today. I just want to remind you, on March 20th, that's a Sunday, I'll be at Crossroads Bible Church in Bellevue teaching the teens out there on creation, cloning, stem cells, and when does life begin, the abortion issue. April 8th and 9th, that's a Friday, Saturday, the Seattle Worldview Apologetics Conference to be held at Crossroads Bible Church in Bellevue also. If you have any questions, give the church a call at 425-747-6750. Or you can probably find their website and get more information. Tremendous speakers out there. And I'll be there also speaking on how to respond to the common questions evolutionists might ask you. Well, if you've enjoyed this show, remember, we do need funding to keep these shows on the air. And, again, you can go to our website. And if you would like to help support this ministry, go to our website, creationmatters.org. And you can find out all about us, get a lot of free resources out there. Did you know we actually record these radio shows? We've recorded every one since we've started, and you can actually listen to them off our website, or you can download each one for free. So if you like what you're hearing here, you can go to our website and just download that for free, creationmatters.org. While you're there, pick up a few of our DVDs, tremendous information for teaching. Well, I mentioned before the break, I was going to talk about what a geneticist had to say at Indiana State University. And here's his quote. Adult stem cell research has already shown itself to be extremely promising for treating numerous degenerative diseases such as heart disease, stroke, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, and diabetes. Adult stem cells have been shown in animal models to repair heart damage, provide therapeutic benefit for stroke, and reverse diabetes. And adult stem cells have already been used successfully in human patients to relieve lupus, multiple sclerosis, and arthritis, to name a few. Adult stem cells have done all that. Embryonic stem cells have cured nothing. So why do we want to keep pouring all our money into embryonic stem cells? Well, one of the reasons is embryonic stem cells have the potential to become any type of cell in the body. But adult stem cells, we said earlier, don't have that potential. They have become what we call differentiated. Some of the instructions have been turned off in the cell's DNA, and they can only be programmed for certain types of tissue. So what about this problem? Does that mean we should not be funding adult stem cells? Well, what if we could find a way to reactivate some of those silenced genes, some of that DNA instructions that have been turned off? Well, folks, this has been done. Not very well reported by the news media. See, the media won't report that. That has been done. A professor at one of the leading universities has done that. So it is now possible to create cells with a wide range of cell usage, all from adult tissue, adult stem cells. The secret is to get the right genes activated in the DNA, the nucleus. So, folks, there is zero advantages to embryonic stem cells now. But all the advantages and all the cures have come using adult stem cells. You know, there's a team of doctors at the Montreal Neurological Institute in Canada. They grew stem cells from skin into smooth muscle cells, fat cells, and even brain cells. All that from adult stem cells. Patients receiving new tissue grown from adult stem cells taken from their own skin, do you know they would face far fewer problems of rejection? Because embryonic stem cells or just like a donor organ, organ donor, you have the problem of rejection. Here's a professor of molecular medical genetics says this about adult stem cells. This would suggest that maybe you don't need any type of fetal stem cell at all, that our adult bodies continue to have stem cells that can do this stuff. Now, we already have the stem cells in us. We can use our own stem cells to cure ourselves. We don't have to worry about rejection of organs. Here's another gentleman, Joseph Kincaid. He's a medical doctor and vice president of Right to Life from Michigan, makes this statement. The current debate in Washington over funding destructive embryonic research is completely overshadowing this ethical and very promising research. In fact, most media reports fail to concede that research using embryonic stem cells has not produced a single cure or successful treatment yet. Folks, we should be taking our monies in this state and pouring it into adult stem cells so we can have better medical benefits from it. We are wasting our money right now, or we're taking money away from good medical research by putting it into embryonic stem cells. We need to get our bills right here in this state here, folks. We've got things turned around. There's an agenda. Let me give you a scenario. Let's take a scenario here. I like scenarios. Suppose you were to have a heart attack. Now, we're only talking a scenario here. Suppose you were to have a heart attack, and a surgeon talks to you about using your own stem cells as treatment, and you would agree. A sample of bone marrow is taken from your hips and they proceed using standard equipment for treating leukemia. The result is a concentrated number of special bone marrow cells, which are then injected back into your own body. That's how adult stem cells work. Now, the surgeon is returning your own unaltered stem cells back to you, to whom these cells legally belong. This is not a new molecular or molecule requiring years of animal and clinical test. Your own stem cells, folks, are available right now, and they do work. What is more, there are no ethical questions, such as using embryonic stem cells. We have all ethical questions about destroying human life. There's no risk of tissue rejection, no risk of cancer using adult stem cells. Folks, here's the bottom line. Would you rather wait 10 years or more for embryonic stem cells to maybe become available? Or would you rather pour our money into research using available medical cures, adult stem cells? You see, too many people out there are just not informed, or they have an agenda, or they have money at stake in all this, folks. We need to be honest about this. To support our medical research, we need to be giving monies to adult stem cells. So now, we see a major difference. Was the president right, President George Bush, did he make the right decision to stop federal funding of embryonic stem cells? Let me give you the technical term for that. You betcha, folks. He made the absolute right decision. George Bush, President George Bush, is on the side of good science. He values the sanctity of human life. And let's go to one of our callers out there. Lee, you have a question.
Yeah, Mike, one thing I have a comment, and that is, there's two. I have a question and a comment. But one thing is, if I just wonder if people would live life the way they're supposed to live it in the first place, if they wouldn't be so desperate to live longer. I mean, if you live life right, you know, with the amount of years it's given you. I mean, people are going to get cancer, and they're going to get sick, and they're going to die. But if you live right, life right first, you don't have to try to extend your life.
You know, that's a great question, Lee, because, you know, as a Christian, as Paul said, to live is gain, and to die is also gain.
Yeah.
We have a win-win situation, don't we?
Yeah.
But if you're not a Christian, what are you living for?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Why would you want to live longer with all these diseases hitting us?
And the other thing is that I think at the point where you have to compromise morals in order to live longer, at that point I think you've gone too far. And when you have to take life to be able to live, I mean, how far will that go? If they find out that draining all of the blood from another human being and infusing it into someone else, are they going to start saying, okay, well, this human being is more productive than that human being, so let's drain the blood from this one?
Well, that's a lot what they're doing when they do abortions. That's exactly what they're doing, especially partial birth abortions, folks.
I mean, with adults. Why not with adults? Go into the nursing homes and say, you know what, this person's just stringing macaroni necklaces. Let's just take this person and drain them. And, I mean, at what point, I mean, it, won't that be happening? I mean, if it worked?
That's exactly right. We give up a little bit of the sanctity of human life, and what's next? We start euthanizing people at a certain age. What are we going to do with human life? If you're no longer viable in the community, we'd get rid of you. Who's to say what the laws are? You see, if you don't have a foundation in God's Word, if you don't have that foundation, then who makes the rules? If you don't believe God is the creator of all things, then He doesn't make the rules. If He didn't create us, He doesn't make the rules. And we can make any rule we want. See, it all goes back, and thank you so much for this, Lee, because it all goes back to Genesis, the first several chapters of Genesis. If you don't believe that, folks, then we have no right to say who lives, who dies, and what marriage is. You know, the whole thing about marriage goes back to Genesis. The whole idea of marriage is between one man and one woman is defined in the Bible. If you don't believe that, folks, you have no right to say anything about marriage. It's whatever we define it.
Yeah.
What wonderful comments, Lee.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for giving us a call. Well, let's go to cloning. We've got stem cells. Let's go to cloning. We're going to go to a break here in just a moment, but cloning. What is a clone? What is cloning? You know, a clone is a genetically identical copy of a living organism, such as the famous sheep Dolly. In other words, a clone is similar to an identical twin. Now, clone would not be an identical copy, but more like a delayed identical twin. So just as it would be two separate people biologically and psychologically, but not genetically. So when we come back, cloning, is it good or bad? Welcome back to Creation Matters. If you just joined us again, we're talking about stem cells and cloning. And we're just now in the cloning portion of this, and I would like to go to the teaching corner on cloning. How does cloning work? Well, first thing we need to understand, it's all about DNA. Cloning is all about DNA. Each cell contains DNA. Now, DNA is packaged into compact units called chromosomes. Basically, a chromosome is one long chain of genetic material. It is the microscopic rod-shaped, thread-like part of the cell that carries heredity information in the form of genes. All of us have chromosomes. All individuals in the same species have the same number of unique chromosomes. For instance, any of you out there believe you have only 16 chromosomes? Well, if you do, you're an onion. How about 6? If you have only 6 unique chromosomes, you're a mosquito. If you have only 24 unique chromosomes, you're a tomato. If you have 40, you're a mouse. But humans, folks, have 46. That's one of the things that makes us human. Now, people might say, oh, what about people with Down syndrome? Don't they have more chromosomes? Well, we need to be careful how that's asked. People with Down syndrome have 3 copies of chromosome 21. They still have 46 unique chromosomes. They just have an extra copy of chromosome number 21. Now, so cloning is all about DNA, and we have these things in the DNA all coiled up called our chromosomes, which are our heredity material. It says what color hair you're going to have, what type of eyes, and how tall you're going to be. All of that information is in there. What are your potential? Now, at the end of each one of these chromosomes is something called telomeres. Now, telomeres don't code for making proteins. They're kind of like a buffer zone between the chromosomes. So when a DNA molecule replicates, here's the key. When a DNA molecule replicates, some of the DNA is lost, and it's usually those endpoints or telomeres. So every time a cell replicates, some of your chromosomes are lost. It's the endpoints, the telomeres. Now, the length of these telomeres gets shorter and shorter as we grow older. Eventually, the telomeres become so shortened that cell can no longer duplicate itself, and it becomes a dead cell. So that's the basis of cloning now. We have the DNA. It's all about DNA. We have chromosomes, and the end of those chromosomes are telomeres, which get shorter and shorter every time that cell replicates. Now, let's go to the famous Dolly. Dolly was cloned. How do you clone a sheep? Well, the first thing you do is you take the nucleus, or the DNA, out of a sheep egg. So we're going to talk all about how do we clone something. We take the DNA out of a sheep egg. Then we transfer the DNA from the mother sheep named Dolly into this egg. Then the egg is fused with the cell and implant it into a surrogate mother, and over time we have a clone. Now, if you wanted to clone yourself, this would how it would be done. We get a human donor egg and take out the nucleus, the DNA. Then we remove the DNA from one of your cells. We fuse your DNA into the donor egg cell. Then we implant that embryo into a surrogate mother, and 9 months later, there's a baby you walking around or crawling around. That's how cloning works. Now, we had a great fanfare when Dolly the sheep was cloned. It made news all over the world. But you know what didn't make news? Is what happened to Dolly. You know, Dolly died of symptoms of old age. She showed signs of premature aging when she was only 3 years old. Why was that? Well, it's all about DNA. You see, Dolly's DNA was already 6 years old when she was born. Remember something called telomeres? The DNA that was implanted into the donor egg had already lost much of its telomeres. See, this is a big problem for cloning. All cloned animals seem to have this problem. All of them are dying of symptoms of old age and other diseases. Did you know it took 277 tries until they got Dolly right? That means there were 276 miserable failures. They didn't tell you what they looked like, did they? You know, there's also two types of cloning. We had two types of stem cells, embryonic stem cells, which were bad. That's destruction of human life, and they have not cured anything. But we have adult stem cells, which are curing diseases and helping, and they don't destroy human life. But there's also two types of cloning. There's reproductive cloning. The goal of reproductive cloning is to produce a duplicate baby or a twin, such as Dolly. We've seen that does not work. We might get the clone, but they always seem to die of horrible diseases and symptoms of old age. Then the second type is therapeutic cloning. The goal of therapeutic cloning is to produce, get this, stem cells for research or treatment. In other words, they're producing embryonic stem cells for destruction. Is either type good? No. All cloning is bad. Let me give you some facts on cloning. You know, more than 90% of cloning attempts fail to produce even viable offspring. All cloned animals tend to have more compromised immune systems. They function at higher rates of infection, tumor growth, and other disorders. So why would anybody in their right mind want to clone a human being when animal cloning has gone so disastrously wrong? But there's even more. Here's Thomas Murray, a bioethicist and president of Hastings Center. Now, he's in a big think tank there, made this statement. He said, it is absolutely inevitable that groups are going to try to clone a human being, but they're going to create a lot of dead and dying babies along the way. And you know what? None of that will be reported by the news. And I want to make sure you understand one thing here. Cloning has nothing to do with evolution. It requires intelligent engineering, doesn't it? Nothing new is created. Cloning has proven human life begins at conception. But you know, Charles Darwin convinced many that humans are a non-special species. So it always seems to come back to this creation evolution business here. Our former president, Bill Clinton, didn't think life started until it was born. That's why he tried to vote for partial birth abortion. But you know, our President Bush, in contrast, President Bush decided to forbid funding of any more destruction of human embryos and strongly opposes human cloning. Further, he affirmed that human life is a sacred gift from our Creator and that we recoil at the idea of growing human beings for spare body parts. We have a great president out there, folks. We need to be praying for him that he does not succumb to false information. This has been Mike Riddle. If you want to hear more, go to our website, creationmatters.org.
You've been listening to Creation Matters with your host, Mike Riddle, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live. If you'd like more information on today's topic or information about Christian training and development services, simply call 425-269-3196. That's 425-269-3196. Or go to the website, creationmatters.org. That's creationmatters.org. And click on the KGNW radio box. Join us next Tuesday at 6 when we'll discover and discuss the truth that for by Him all things were created. That's all right here next week on Creation Matters, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live.